Greetings. You're listening to the 57th episode of the ABF Journal podcast. I'm Phil Nafer, managing editor of ABF Journal. In this episode, Jake Sussman, a vice president at Arena Investors, stopped by to discuss the benefits of infusing private equity sensibilities into the structuring of private debt transactions. Jake also delved into the world of corporate asset-based lending and the keys to successful joint ventures and co-investments before providing an outlook for the private debt marketplace in early 2022. Let's get to the call. Hi, Jake. How are you doing today?
Well, Phil, how you doing?
Pretty good. Thank you for joining us today. And before we get into today's topic, I wanted to see if you could tell me a little bit about your background and your work with Arena Investors.
Sure, and really appreciate you having me on. It means a lot to myself and the firm. So we really enjoy your podcast and honored to be on it. So a little background for you. I started my career in 2008. During the Great Recession. Started my career sort of doing distressed investment banking, which is how I got my interest in doing private credit. And I've been at various shops over the years. Started with Arena about three and a half years ago, to focus on kind of off the run special situation credit and sort of non-sponsored growth-oriented credit, partnering with sort of founder-owned, management team-owned, entrepreneur-owned businesses.
Awesome. And then at Arena, how have you guys been tracking over the last 18 months during the COVID-19 pandemic? I know it's probably been pretty challenging, but how have you guys been doing?
Yeah, you know, I think like a lot of folks, certainly in the beginning days, it was a little bit of an unknown. We spent a whole bunch of time early on with our existing portfolio companies, making sure that things were going okay with the portfolio. We spent a lot of time directly with our management teams, talking through strategies, how we're going to navigate, you know, the COVID pandemic. And, you know, luckily the portfolio was pretty solid. We really didn't have too many issues to speak of. We tend to underwrite our portfolios, you know, for downside scenarios. Obviously, no one had contemplated a global pandemic shutting down the world. But we were pretty fortunate that we had, you know, strong positions and really good management teams. We like to back good people. You know, we talk often about businesses, but really every business comes down to the people that you back. And without good management teams, you won't have good businesses very long. So we were pretty fortunate that those portfolio companies perform well. And so once we kind of got a handle on that, we spent a whole bunch of time looking at new transactions. So pretty early on during the COVID pandemic, we were active in putting out new term sheets and looking for new opportunities. And I think, you know, in those early days, we were some of the only folks across the street doing that. So it was an interesting time for us for sure. And luckily we came through it in a really strong position with plenty of dry powder, and we've been plenty active in the days since.
I know you guys have been pretty active this year, as it's been a pretty busy year in the lending space overall. But I know you've also been very selective. From what I've been told, you guys have financed 3% of the more than 2,300 items you've diligenced so far this year. Can you tell me a little bit about that approach and how you see this space more generally?
Yeah, our approach to private credit is somewhat unique. I would say most of what we do is non-sponsored focused. So about 80% of the deals we do is non-sponsored. And what I mean by that is we're investing in businesses that are founder-owned, management team-owned, employee-owned type companies. About 20% is sponsored some way, whether it's a traditional funded sponsor, an independent sponsor, or a family office. As a result, you know, those deals oftentimes were the first institutional capital into a deal. Oftentimes, either the deals are non-banked, meaning they don't have an investment banker, or they're lightly banked. And so there's not a clean data room with lots of information. There's not a track record of a bunch of sponsors owning the companies. And so the diligence process is a little bit more intensive. And so you have to sort of look at a whole bunch of opportunities to find the ones that make sense. You know, as I sort of alluded to earlier in the conversation, we're hyper-focused on protecting our downside for our investors and making sure that we're underwriting fundamentally sound businesses with really strong management teams. And so, you know, we sort of have a pretty high standard when it comes to deals closed versus deals looked at. And that sort of historically has been, you know, somewhere in the 1-3% range of the deals that come in. So we have to have a really wide funnel at the front end to make sure we're seeing enough transactions that we can be selective and picking what we think are the right winners and really strong fundamental companies. So it's labor intensive on the sourcing side, it's labor intensive on the underwriting side, but you know, we think that it translates into a really nice, healthy portfolio for Arena and Arena's investors.
And then is there anything else unique about your guys' approach or how maybe you approach it, certain industries different than others or anything else?
Yeah, you know, again, I think because unlike lots of lenders in the space, we're sort of doing traditionally non-sponsored deals. We take a very, you know, hands-on, I would say, private equity style approach to due diligence. You know, we're the ones leading all the third-party work, whether it's engaging a QB provider directly or if it's a healthcare business, you know, engaging a company to do a billing coding audit or bringing on an operating partner of our own to help us diligence a unique space, which is, I think, pretty unique in the lending space. We're oftentimes working with these potential borrowers to create the data for us to be able to get kind of the next level deep on diligence as we're looking at potential opportunities. So it's a little bit of a different approach. You know, our diligence process, like I said, is more akin to private equity from start to finish. It's, you know, it can be as short as a month to get a deal closed or as long as, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 months to get a deal closed. It just sort of depends on availability of information and how organized the company is before we start doing our diligence process.
Yeah, and then you mentioned that, you know, having a strong management team, that's who you guys kind of work with. Are there other factors or characteristics of the companies or industries that can benefit most from this kind of approach?
Yeah, look, I think from our perspective, you know, we tend to also try to find deals where we can align ourselves in the upside. And what I mean by that is, you know, we'll be a lender too, but also we like to be a minority equity owner of businesses. And so what that tends to lend itself to is management teams who have taken their company to a certain point. Let's just say they've grown it to 5 of EBITDA or 10 of EBITDA and they've bootstrapped it and they're looking to grow. And traditionally their avenue has been to sell their company and sell control. And we say, look, instead of selling control, why don't you partner with Arena? We'll do sort of a minimally dilutive term loan with you. It'll be more expensive than say a bank, but less expensive than selling, you know, majority control of your equity. And we'll, you know, we've got all the tools in our tool belt similar to a private equity firm. So how can we help you grow? Do you need help with an M&A strategy? Well, we have tools and capabilities in-house to build a direct sort of M&A pipeline. Do you need help building out a sales team? Do you need help getting off of QuickBooks? Do you need help, you know, redoing your CRM? All those sort of options are on the table with a group like Arena. And we have our own sort of proprietary in-house capabilities through our affiliate entity called Quaestar that help companies grow. And we do it as being a good partner. And it leaves the majority of the upside with the founders and the CEOs and the management teams that continue to own the majority of their equity.
Yeah, and then how unique is this kind of approach in the industry? I'm not really certain myself. And if it is kind of one that is more unique, do you expect it to be one that will start to be adopted more universally?
You know, that's a good question. We certainly think it's unique. We don't come across too many folks who offer this kind of hybrid private equity, private credit solution. We're focused on providing, you know, growth capital to founders and entrepreneurs. We think it's a really good offering. We've gotten some good response in the market. You know, will everyone start piling to do it? Yeah, maybe. It's a bit more labor intensive. You have to have the tools to be able to offer, you know, the company in terms of, you know, the help to help them grow, the tools to help them grow. And not everyone necessarily has it, but you know, we certainly think it's an interesting niche. Companies have been very receptive to it. And, you know, we have a handful of companies in the portfolio today that we've been working with, and we continue to hopefully be finding more.
And then I know you guys are also active in the corporate ABL space. Can you tell me a little bit more about your work in that regard?
Sure. So in addition to our sort of what I'll call our traditional cash flow lending, growth-oriented lending, we also offer an ABL product. In that regard, we're a little bit more off the run. There's the sort of the traditional bank offerings for ABLs. We tend to look at ABLs where the banks are not. So unlike our what I'll call private credit to private equity style investing in private credit, this is more of a special situation off the run ABL offering. So let's just, for example, if you have a brick and mortar retail business that has gotten themselves in a little bit of trouble and they don't have enough capacity under their borrowing base with their existing traditional lender, we have the ability to get in deeper on the underlying collateral and find ways to get those companies excess liquidity to help them get through tough and challenging times. So when their banks kind of say, look, we're at the end of our rope, we don't have any more availability for you, we have ways to get deeper on the underlying collateral and provide them the excess liquidity. In addition, we have the ability to evaluate sort of a bigger pool of collateral, right? Where a traditional bank might look at AR and inventory only, we have the ability to look at AR inventory, we can look at real estate, we can look at machinery and equipment, we can look at, PP&E, and then we can also look at off-balance sheet items. So we can get very creative in how we think about collateral pools.
Great. Well, Jake, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Really appreciate you having us on.